Hey, hey, hey! Welcome to Cider Chat. It's episode 300, and this is a cider-centric podcast. So we talk to makers, we talk to enthusiasts, we talk to folks in the cider trade around the world. And my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am both the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast. And if this is the first time that you are tuning into Cider Chat, well, welcome, because we are in a celebratory mood in the Cider House.
Hip, hooray!
And yes, if you were wondering, that is me leading in the vocals there. I also have my cousin Jay singing along and playing the guitar. We are singing a little snippet there from our song that's going to be released on this here episode. If you are new to Cider Chat, I want to say welcome. You just tuned into like the perfect episode, because it's kind of like what cider's all about. Absolute celebratory scene where the glasses are being swung around and everybody has a full cup and there's a lot of good cheer, because that's what we like to embrace here in our perfect spot of Ciderville. So thank you so much for checking out this here podcast. And don't forget to hit the little follow button or subscribe. Check us out on all the different social media channels. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. That's all at Cider Chat. And on Instagram, it's at Cider Chat Ciderville. And I even like to post occasionally on TikTok at Cider Chat.
Forget the pie.
That's right, we're going to forget the pie, because on Cider Chat, we are really focused on the fermented beverage made from apples and pears and assorted palms. Not that we don't like pie, but in this case, and for this episode, we're going to
forget the pie.
Which means when you take an apple and you kind of crunch it all up, then what you do is, well, Jay, what do we do with it?
Squeeze them tight.
Exactly. We squeeze it tight to get out all the juice. And the goal for some is to have a still cider with like no bubbles. Or we sometimes like to
make them pop.
Let's count it in.
Make them pop.
All right.
Hey, it's all over the place. It's popping.
Ready? 2, 3, 4.
Make them pop.
That's what we wanted.
That was it.
And now let's just kind of talk it through. Like, you know, make them pop.
Okay, make them pop. Mm-hmm. Pop, pop, pop. Pop.
No, just a little bit like, you know, a little bit more calmer. Like, make them pop.
Okay, okay, try it again.
2, 3, 4.
Make them pop.
Am I talking it or singing it?
Kind of singing, singing talk, you know?
Kind of half and half?
Yeah. Right. 2, 3, 4.
Make them pop.
That's a hard time with it.
You want to go,
make them pop.
Oh, I'm popping. I think you catch my drift, right? So, again, a lot of fun in the Cider House, Cider Chat Central. What can I say? I'm full of giggles today, and I hope that it brings a little bit of levity into your life, too.
Cue up to the mini clips.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Quince, you're right. We're going to be rolling out like we do on all these type of banner episodes when we hit a real huge mark, like episode 300, and bring in some of the guests that were on season 6 who want to say a little hello to you. And this will provide you a little bit of a cross-section of some of the, well, actually everybody on season 6, where they're from and their location, and just a little howdy-do to just share with you the amazing cross-section of voices out there in Ciderville. I know sometimes, especially in times of like lockdown and pandemics and all that, the world can feel a little bit smaller than it really is. So I hope as you hear just some of these, and we'll be playing them throughout this episode, correct, Mr. Quince?
Roger that.
You'll get a sense of really what Cider Chat has been doing for the past 6 years and how it's creating an archive of oral history of all these makers and people within cider worldwide. So, yeah, please, Mr. Quince, let's roll it.
Hello, this is Chuck Shelton of Albemarle Cider Works in North Garden, Virginia.
Hi, this is David Timmerman of Albemarle Cider Works in North Garden, Virginia. This is Barry Masterson from Kirtle Reiter Cider in Schefflin, Germany.
Hi, this is Eric and Liza Chofi of Courthouse Creek. We're in Maidens, Virginia.
Hi, this is Steve Garwood of Ragged Hill Cider Company, based in West Brookfield, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Soham Bhatt, the co-founder of Artifact Cider Project here in Florence, Massachusetts, and a newly opened location in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Michelle Foyk of Eris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, this is Katie Pizza of Eris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, this is Caitlin Brom of Yonder Cider and the Source Cider, located in Washington State.
Hi, this is Ryan Monkman from Fieldbird Cidery in Prince Edward County, Ontario, the north side of Lake Ontario.
This is John Bunker of Fetco Trees in Maine. I'm also involved with the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association and our Apple CSA called Out on a Limb CSA in Palermo, Maine. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
And those were the first 10 guests or so from season 6. It was started a little bit in 2020 and then into 2021. Wow. You know, looking over that past 2 years, and even where we are right now in the world, you know, I continue to be hopeful because I have this platform each week where I get to talk to you, Ciderville. And what's better than that? I mean, really, you keep me connected. Speaking of which, I suppose I should tell you now that Season 7 will officially launch on January 5th with Episode 301, which means over the next couple of weeks, you might want to go into the archives and listen to some of the shows that you missed. Or re-listen if you've heard them before, because I know some folks out there, I know, yeah, you, listen sometimes once, twice, four times to an episode, because there's so much going on in there. I know. Believe me. As many times as you listen to an episode, I've listened to it more. I think I hold the award, because that's what happens when you are producing a podcast of this caliber. Anyways, all 300-plus episodes, because there's some on Cider Chat Live. So actually, even though this is 300 kind of like in one way, we actually even have more. They could all be found at thesiderchat.com/podcast page. Or just go to ciderchat.com. You look at the little heading there and you'll see things that kind of scroll down and look for the page that says podcast. And each season is separated, you know, 1 through 6 right now. And you have nice little photos of the people who were on it, the featured guests, and then links. You go to those links, and it will have the mentions, things that we talked about in addition to the featured guests, and it might have some of the sponsors for that particular episode. All good stuff. And, you know, it's really nice to just sometimes for myself to scroll through the archives and look at the different people that I had the pleasure of talking to. It's really, really cool. And at the same time, some of those folks who have been on the podcast are no longer with us. So, I think Jay and I will just kind of sum it up with this one word.
Bittersweet.
As goes apples, so goes life. Both have elements of being bitter. And at those times, transformation happens. You know, when our life is feeling kind of bitter and not really spot on, those are the moments in time that we kind of learn the most. I hate to say it, but it's true. God, I hate that saying, you know, through crisis you get opportunity, but it's true. Teach it all my life. And going back to apples, of course, we'll stick to that before I get too profound here. Apples, in case you don't know, we love apples that are bitter sharp and bittersweet. You might want to spit them out when you bite them. But if you ferment them, you just get really, really happy because those are the apples that really deliver the juice that can be fermented into a marvelous concoction. So isn't it cool? I just love how all these little parallel universes are constantly happening. Which leads me in a moment. Oh, let's take a little break here and come right back. I want to talk about a amazing thing that's happening this coming year that you, if you're a commercial cider maker, might want to get in on. In fact, I recommend you get in on. I'll be right back with that. For this very special episode 300, we also, in addition, have a very special sponsor. and that would be the New York International Cider Competition, which is taking place on February 21st, 2022 in New York City. Now, this is a really unique competition because, unlike all others, the judges are buyers and owners of bars and stores. This means that they are judging with an eye to the buyers, meaning the customers at their stores and specialty bars. So whereas I would typically judge based on style, purely style, and the merits of the cider in that category in comparison to others, this competition asks if the cider is positioning itself to sell. And to sell is the ultimate goal for commercial makers. And that is why I really enjoy promoting this competition. Plus, every year, Adam Levy, who founded this competition, the New York International Cider Competition, he reaches out to me and asks if he can sign up the competition for a slew of promotions. And when I told him that I was rolling out episode 300, which, I mean, it's a big episode for me. I think you too, Ciderville, because this is kind of showing that we do have some staying power. I mean, you might feel like you're out there on a thread or you can't find cider out of the store. It's always like the same thing. You can't change it up. You're trying to make your cider and it's just not coming out right. And, you know, you try and try. Well, you keep on trying and trying. That's staying power, baby. That is staying power. Yeah. And that's what I love about Adam Levy. He keeps on reaching out. You know, I was a little bit kind of tardy this time around. I didn't get a hold of him. I didn't say, hey, Adam, you know, I have all this going on here because, well, you know, after this episode, I won't be back with another episode until January 5th. And he said, you know, no problem. I want to sponsor that special episode. So here we are. I get to talk about the New York International Cider Competition, which, by the way, this past year, it was not in person. You know, they had to run all over the city delivering these little packages on the day of, coordinating kind of a, I don't know, it's like, you know, going to the Battle of the Bulge type of situation where you got to make sure you have all systems go, have your PERT chart up there, you know, that your like preparedness chart, know where things are on the timing. You got to know what you're doing. And this is not his first rodeo. Look, he had the International Beer and Cider Competition until the cider competition got big enough to have its own standalone event. So now he's doing New York beer, cider, spirits, and wine. And then in Berlin, he does beer, spirits, and wine. He does the same thing in Melbourne, Australia. And then he does the same thing in Asia. It's called Asia International. Except the only cider competition is taking place in New York City. Wow. Oh, and there's also a New York International cheese competition, too. Man, I just love it. So cool. So if you want to find out what's going on, check out the last winners over the past couple of years. See who your possible competitors are. And, you know, get your bottles ready. Start making sure your labels are all set. Find the perfect box to be able to ship it away. All you need to do is go to nyicidercompetition.com. So Cider Chat over the past 6 years has had sponsors and patrons, and I couldn't have done it without either. In fact, I could still use a whole bunch more. So if you're looking for a good project to help out, well, you've looked no further if you love cider, and check out the Cider Chat Patreon page, because there you could sign up at different levels. You could tip the podcaster, you could raise a glass, and you could also join the Cider Going Up campaign. And in fact, I'm going to ask my dear friend here, Perry Pear, to help me read some of the names of the current commercial folks who are part of the Cider Going Up campaign at ciderchat.com. So the first is kind of near and dear to your heart, isn't it, Perry Pear? Because not only do they make cider, but they do make Perry, and they have a beautiful, an absolutely spectacular orchard setting. And that would be none other than
Ross Onwy Cider and Perry Company, located in Ross Onwy in England or the UK.
Yeah, this area is known as West Country, and it's a must-visit cider region. In fact, I'm going to be talking a little bit about visiting this region later on in this episode. Just one sip of Ross and Wye will make you swoon for more. The second one we want to talk about is some incredible perry makers and cider makers, and they're the folks at
Duck and Chicken.
Right, Duck and Chicken. They have a really fun name, a cool logo. Just go to the Cider Going Up campaign at ciderchat.com and you'll get to see their three-legged duck and their fun little chicken. Marvelous folks. That is James Mann and Colleen O'Sullivan. The next one, we're going to come a little bit closer to home, and this is not too far away from where we are, based at Cider Chat Central, and that would be
Space and Time Cider Works.
Right, that's Dan at Spacetime Mead and Cider Works in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. All these folks I've had on the podcast, except for the following one, which is Esoterra Cider Works in Dolores, Colorado. Now, I haven't made it out there yet. I sure am hoping to see you folks out there. That's Jared out in Dolores. And everything I've heard about them, it's just really exciting. And they've won a lot of awards recently. Now, Dolores, Colorado is in the southwest corner of the state. And you may have heard about the four corners in the U.S. That's the states of Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. And it is beautiful country. I mean, if there's one thing that my heart longs for when I'm out in the world, one is the ocean and two is the desert. Go figure. And going to this spot here, it's just beautiful. And I know that they're making really great cider. So check them out if you're out in that area, and also go online and check out Esoterra, because they, like all these places, do ship cider to your door. Now we're going to head over to Asia for our good friend.
Is that Lee Reeve?
That's right, Medlars. Lee Reeve of Insider Japan. This is the only bilingual Japanese and English magazine covering that area of the world. He's done so much to get knowledge out to the folks out there in that beautiful country about what cider is, what it can do for the agricultural producers there. They grow a lot of apples, they make wine, but cider, it does seem, is starting to really catch on. So I'm super excited for that. I've had some Japanese ciders that Lee has brought to CiderCon in past years, and fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. We just adore him, don't we?
Sure do.
That's right, Medlars. Okay. And this is a wonderful cider maker. In fact, I had this guy on this season 6 here. I've been wanting to go to his cidery for quite a long time, but it was way out in southwestern Pennsylvania, a little south, about 45 minutes or so south of Pittsburgh in Acme, Pennsylvania, and that would be
Perry.
Taddy Bogle Cider Works.
That's right, Perry Pear. Taddy Bogle Cider Works, based in Acme, Pennsylvania. A great, great cidery, a good cider maker. Kurt, I want you to know those Dalgo cider, man, that you made, it's just delicious, absolutely delicious. I had that visit, like I said, this July on my cider field road trip. And he gave me like a whole case of cider, and I've been going through it and just kind of like coveting it going out because, you know, I have kind of cider FOMO. I don't want to miss it. You know, like I'll drink it and then I'll feel like, oh, I don't have any more. I'm missing it. And man, you really are making some great cider. He has cider for everybody there. You know, it's something for like folks who are new to cider and folks who are a little bit, you know, looking for those bitter sharps and bitter sweets. So if you're into that, ask him for some of those specialty ciders. You never know what you find. And last but not least, we have a real special patron, and that would be...
Shall I go, Rhea?
Yes, Perry, please.
The American Cider Association.
Yeah, the American Cider Association is a patron of Cider Chat, which is really nice because, you know, they are doing a lot of work out there in Ciderville, and the fact that they believe in this podcast and want to support it means a lot to all of us, and certainly helps lift the body of cider upward so all cider makers keep going forward, and that's what it's all about. a big tip of the glass to the commercial cider makers who have joined the Cider Going Up campaign, and to all the folks who are also patrons at Cider Chat. Right now, as of this podcast, there's 61 patrons. To bring a little bit of transparency to the podcast, I'm pretty much a solo podcaster. I'm doing it all, except for my friends, the Talking Palms. It's me, 100%. Now, the cost to running a podcast like this are pretty big, actually. In fact, I'm looking at, for 2022, a difficulty of actually running an hour-long show, because for me to be able to upload that amount of time, I have to go up to another level for the server so that the podcast then goes out to all these different apps. So I'm calling on you, Ciderville, to make 2022 your year for supporting Cider Chat. In fact, why wait till 2022? Do it now so that I won't have to shorten episodes going into January of this coming year. That would really be a bummer, because I'll tell you, when I have Phil on the first episode of 2022 talking about the water wheel cider press that he built, you're going to want to hear the whole story. And I would hate to have to shorten it down to a 30-minute podcast, which I'm only going to have to do because I can't afford to pay the hosting service. So this is my plea to you. If you want Cider Chat to keep on going on and keep on helping cider go up, do become a patron or hit that donate button. I can't do it alone. And truthfully, it's still coming out of my pockets, despite all these wonderful people that are supporting the podcast. It's still coming out of my pockets. I'm not making a living wage here. I'm not. I would love to. I mean, everybody wants to get paid. So, geez, if there's any way I could help you think about it in terms of tipping somebody, you know? You go to the diner, you tip somebody. You go to the ice cream bar, you tip somebody. You listen to this podcast, throw a little bit this way. And if everybody did that, it would take a lot of load off of the folks who are really putting out so much every month. We're going to now roll over to some more little mini clips from season 6. And we're going to start with Etienne Dupont. I didn't really have him do the classic intro line, but he's going to talk about the three key things for aroma. It's really cool. So listen to that, and then we're going to be rolling into some more wonderful folks who have been on this podcast during this past year.
Three sources of aroma: the fruit, the yeast, and the cask in which it has been kept.
Hi. This is Nan Stefanik of Vermont Quince.
This is Barry Rook from Cider Canada, the new Canadian Cider Association, and the Cider Crate.
Hi, this is Wendy LeBlanc.
And Patrick Mann.
The 1785 Cider, based in Germany.
Hi, this is Nicole Todd from Santa Cruz Cider Company, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
All these are great episodes. I mean, with Etienne, we're in the Calvados scene we're tasting. You definitely want to hear that one if you haven't checked that one out with him. Unbelievable. That's Domaine Dupont, and he is Etienne Dupont. Also, Wendy and Patrick in Germany, that was really cool story too, of their little, you know, bringing their car over their mountain type of scene in the middle of a snowstorm. And of course, Nan Stefanik, who has just rocked the Quince world. She has been so good at promoting it. We did the New England Quince taste test with her last year. Check out Vermont Quince. And then there is also Nicole Todd of Santa Cruz Cider Company, the surf side of Ciderville out there on the West Coast. And of course, we also heard from Barry Rook of Cider Crate and a Canadian Cider Association. Cool stuff for all our good friends north of the border.
Pop, pop, pop.
Parlez-vous français?
Yes, we are practicing our French, which is something I'm really excited about. It's been on my bucket list for quite a while, most obviously because I lead Totally Cider Tours to France, and also because I've just fallen head over heels. And even more importantly, I would like to be able to converse with the makers, with my friends, as much as possible. It just seems like the right move to do. So this unbelievable opportunity turned up for me this past season 6 to be able to study with a woman who was at one time a dean and a longtime professor at the University of Massachusetts in the French department. She taught for 49 years. So believe me when I say it's like studying one-on-one with a black belt. The style that she teaches is a little different than what I normally have done in the past around language. Instead of doing conversational French, we're reading a book. And I just so happened to have a book that I brought back when I went to the Musée du Poiret in Domfronté, all on Perry and the culture there. In fact, the book is called The Pear Growers in Domfront Country. In French, it's Poiret Culture en Pays de Domfront. And this is remarkable because a lot of my friends are in this book, and it tells the story of this kind of small collective, a co-op, if you will, of farmers who took the opportunity back in 1991 to set up a co-op and get the AOP, which is a designation for Poiret in that area. So I want to go now to a little clip here of me with my dear teacher, Nancy, as she's reading through, actually, the first paragraph in the book. This isn't even the author yet. It's just under the preface. And it, right from the get-go, I'm like, and I'm just into it because it's talking about things that are really timely. And I think a little bit of info around the word Poiret and its beginnings. So, Mr. Quince, will you roll that little clip there, please?
Oui.
Merci.
When in 1991, young agriculture people, from the Domfronté, this area, this particular area, this region enclaved, which means surrounded, if you will. At the limits of Normandy and Brittany, found themselves together, they were together in a meeting, to attempt to dynamize, they want to give life to the cider of pears. I said that, at the beginning, they started using the word cider, but cider was definitely used for apples. So they had to find a new word. That's why they came with Poiret, which I didn't know.
No, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that. But that's a new word, because they want to find a word for the cider of pears, because they were using the cider of pears. And the minute you use the word cider, you automatically think, this has got to do with apples.
That's fascinating. Now, Nancy, did that happen in 1991 then? Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, what they're doing is getting together.
Oh.
Because they've been, they go into this. They were using the pear cider in the families of the area, and they wanted to commercialize this.
I see.
The only way they could commercialize it was to get together and start figuring out, how they were going to do a co-op, all right? Essentially, that's what they want to do.
Yes.
Just to make a co-op.
Right.
Okay? So the cider of pears produced and essentially consumed in the farms of the region. So you might find it in a local store, a local grocery store, which isn't going to be Stop and Shop. It's going to be little teeny weeny, end of the street, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not know that 25 years later, that's the Il ne se doutait pas. That if you take a look at doute, you think that's going to be doubt. Well, it's the opposite. They didn't know the 25 years later, the Poiré, that's the word that they made up, Domfront, because it's from the local area, mm-hmm. recognized in the midst of that, in the midst of that time, as an appellation d'origine protégée. Now, AOP is one way of talking about, normally you've seen origine contrôlée, which means that has another, it's gone through more governmental bureaucracy, and it has now become known, for instance, to the Bordeaux wine or Burgundy wine has what they call an appellation contrôlée. That means that they can be sued, that anybody can be sued if they use that word, that name, mm-hmm. if you will, on wine elsewhere mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. The AOP is sort of a lesser, slightly lesser contrôlé, but it still means that if somebody puts Poiré Domfront on something that's grown in New York State, they can be sued. In the Napa Valley in California, Moet, M-O-E-T, which makes champagne, has a very, mm-hmm. Moet champagne is really mm-hmm. considered very, very high class champagne. Mm-hmm. Moet could not call the wines that they made in the Napa Valley champagne, even though they were champagne grapes and they were done the same way and they had the same bubbly and mm-hmm. all that kind of good thing. They still have to call that sparkling wine. Why? Because if they call it champagne, the people in Champagne will bring gazillions of dollars of suits against them, okay, for calling that champagne.
All right, there was a lot in there, wasn't it? I first want to say that Nancy is in an assisted living center. So I do this entire lesson via FaceTime, a video, so that I could see her pronunciation, watch her lips. And it's just, I love it. It's just my time every week when I get to like read this book with her. And she just pulls it apart and extrapolates even more info than is in the lines. What an honor. Now, the reason why I played this specific clip is because I thought there was something really remarkable to note here. And that is, it was only in 1991 that the producers in the area of Domfront decided to use the word Poiré. Up to that point, it had been cider of pear. And that got kind of confusing. And they knew they had to come together and make a joint decision. Now, I know that's kind of easy to do when you have, well, you know, a small collective of people. But having met a lot of these people, they're pretty headstrong. So I'm sure it wasn't no small task. But they were able to come together and make that decision moving forward. And wow, how much has that benefited them? I mean, it's unbelievable because we are able to really clearly differentiate that. And this has to do all with the language of cider and Perry or Poiré in this way, and how it impacts our greater world. So if you're a commercial maker and you have confusing language out there and you're part of that process, you know, are you calling it cider or hard cider? At some time, Ciderville, you got to make a decision. You know, it's just getting kind of kooky. And it's actually, in my humble opinion, it's freaking holding back the entire business of cider when folks can't decide on that. So she pointed that out, and I think it's cool. 1991, that's a relatively short amount of time that Poiré became established as the main word. I just That's a good trivia question to have out there. And then the second piece is she was talking about the AOP, the designation, which is really, there's AOC and AOP. That means that what they have as a name, such as champagne, is really protected. So this is why I am at a loss now, still in season six, after 300 episodes and talking about this issue, not constantly, because I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but enough to have enough commercial makers out there to hear this loud and clear, that Pommeau is just like champagne. It is a protected word, if you will. And then you'll have some people say, well, if it doesn't say Pommeau of Normandy or something, that don't matter, folks. That don't matter. Look, if the winemakers in Napa Valley respect the French, I think the American cider makers should too. I mean, certainly there's more winemakers in the U.S. than there are cider makers. So come together right now over Pommeau and find your own word. Make it your own. Coin it. Because the Pommeau that's being made in the U.S. is not the same as Pommeau in France. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. You can't call an orange an apple. Two different beasts. In fact, the entire structure of Pommeau and how it's being made is very, very specific. And it ain't easy to be able to get an AOP designation on your Pommeau. It just ain't easy. Something to think about moving forward in 2022. Before you put that label on there, just so you know what Pommeau is, it's for the French, it's Calvados with fresh pressed apple juice. And it's delightful. And it has to be aged for 18 months at a minimum. It has to be in specific wood. It has to be specific varieties of apple to be able to be designated under that strict culture that they have set up. So go for it, American cider makers. Make something your own and be proud about that. And don't be copycats.
Plenty strange apples. 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 Plenty strange apples.
Plenty strange apples.
Yeah.
Like Frank Sinatra would do. We got a strange apple. Elvis. Got strange apple town, a strange apple town. That dude is strange apple, man.
And now I'm going to go eat my words. We have Jay mimicking Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley. You copycat, you. Anyways, oh my goodness. Oh, it's episode 300 and anything goes. Up next, we have a little mini clip here of some more guests that were on season six of Cider Chat. And it's going to be the folks who were on that series of Cider Media. A really informative series for myself as someone who is considered media, I guess, out there in Ciderville. And I wanted to really highlight this small collection here in the U.S. who are producing online blogs specific to cider and also a standalone magazine, too. So we're going to roll with that. And you also hear at the tail end our friend Richie Brady. He's not necessarily media, but this is the perfect place to put your clip here, Richie. He did a really fascinating thesis on the language of cider. In fact, if you go to his episode, which is number 286, called The Living Language of Cider, you're going to be wowed. Kind of everything we were just talking about, or I was just talking about on my soapbox, and more. Enough said there. Let's roll with this clip.
Hello, I'm Mary Bigham. I'm the founder and publisher of Cider Culture.
Hi, this is Emily Kovac, the editor of Cider Culture.
Hi, this is Kristen Ackerman-Bacon, publisher of Cidercraft Magazine.
Hey, everyone, it's Trevor from Cider Scene. I'm the co-owner here.
Hey, everybody, this is Nolan O'Malley, the other co-owner of Cider Scene.
Hi, this is Richard Brady, based in Dublin, Ireland, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Special delivery.
What do you mean, Mr. Quince?
We have here two packages. It looks like cider, Rhea.
Oh, from where?
Let's see. We have the Netherlands and Maryland.
Oh, my goodness. Marcel's cider has arrived. I'm so excited. And Maryland, is that Sean Blaze?
Indeed it is, Rhea. Indeed it is.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Perfect time, you guys. Thank you so much for sending that cider. I think that, let's see. I'm going to just... let me come in and grab that package from Marcel and see what we have. But I'm just going to open it live right here. All right, Palms, I'm coming down. I'm going to come down the stairs here because I could see it's at the lower level. So I'm going to run down the stairs right now. And hey, let's just rip these open and see what we got because you know, I can't wait. I know Ciderville's pretty interested now. Let's see what we have here. Yay, Marcel, it worked. I think you put on gift. And Marcel, if you don't know who he is, he's based in the southern part of the Netherlands. And he has a cidery now, which has kind of recently been built, called De Gene, the gardener. Oh my goodness. Let's see, Marcel's opening. Got a little crush at the end, but it's looking good. Oh my goodness. I got the book that was written about cider in the Netherlands. Oh man. It's all in Dutch, but you know, I'm pretty good with my Dutch. Oh my goodness. Ria, it says, thank you for the wonderful podcast. Greetings from the Netherlands. Marcel Janssen. And the title of the book in Dutch is, I believe it's Ambachtelijke Cider in Nederland. And Ambachtelijke is craft. So it's craft cider in the Netherlands. Marcel didn't write this. He's just sending me the book. We'll have more on that in a bit. Wow. All right, let's get to the cider. I'll make a little mess here. And there's two bottles. Ooh-wee. Ciderie de Gendenaire. Hog Selbos. I'm not sure what that is. Let's see. I'm going to have to figure out which one that is. And then another little bottle, a smaller format bottle. Eau de Cong. So this is like a eau de vie, I believe. Yay. We're going to go in the other box. This is like, I just want to say this is a way to do a 300th episode. Presents. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Okay. Sean is based in Maryland and he's working on starting a cidery. Has been sending me cider as he makes it so we can kind of talk about it and see what he's got. And wow, you really packaged this. This box came from a shorter distance, but I'm gonna need a moment here. Let me see. I want to cut myself. All right.
Take your time, Rhea. Take your time.
Thank you, Perry. I know I'm going crazy. Oh my goodness. We got a beautiful bottle, a green bottle, with a nice American flag on top. I'm not seeing a note, Sean. What is it? I know you told me you were going to send me something, but I don't know what it is. All right, I'll email you. But wow, the bounty. Fantastic. Okay, let me head back up to the cider recording room so we could kind of get back to switching here. All righty, I'm back at my desk, and I have a glass because I always have a glass at my desk. And at some point, I'll probably do a podcast episode called The Bottles on My Desk. Because probably like you out there in Ciderville, you might have a few bottles on your desk. I don't know what that says about me, but I am a cider podcaster. Anywho, I'm going to open up this Eau de Cong from Marcel. The ciders, I'm going to let them settle a little bit because they've been traveling, and it gets very scary opening it near my equipment. So let's pull off this little cork here. I took off the... There we go. Ooh, it's very heavy viscosity there. A clear liquid, a little light yellowish hint. I'm going to sniff it. Mmm. Oh, the aroma. Oh, my mama. Mmm. Oh my goodness, that brings me back to my childhood when I used to go into my parents' liquor cabinet. Don't think badly about me, Ciderville, honest to God. And they had this like banana liqueur that I just died for. This does not taste like the banana liqueur, but I'm going to guess that this is quince. So let me look this up right now. I'm going to go to Google Translate and put in this word. And it's spelled C-O-I-N-G. It's not Dutch. It's French. When I hit the French piece, and here's the pronunciation, coin, and it means quince. Okay, I knew that you were definitely getting into the quince piece here. I'm going to pour some more because this is where I'm going to finish off episode 300. To all you folks out there in the Netherlands, I know there's some amazing cider makers. Can't wait to read this book. I'm feeling abundant right now, and we're kind of like winding down here, so I got to stay on task because there's a couple more things I need to tell you. But one more sip here. Wow, I just want to say, wow, this is great. Let's see what the ABV is on it. It is saying 24%, small batch, bottled in 2021. Ooh, that is nice. Ooh, du quince. Oh, my goodness. Marcel and Sean, you made my day. Not to mention that I just got two new T-shirts that just came in via TeePublic, because anytime I put up a new T-shirt, I like to order it myself, see how it looks. And I tell you, they're rocking. One says, Strange Apples, Make Them Pop. And actually, the name of the song that I wrote that we're going to be airing shortly is called Strange Apples. And why is it called Strange Apples? Because, you know, I'm kind of poking the bear here a little bit. We're always trying to explain what we do with cider. And I feel sometimes we're just kind of apologizing. So let's just kind of like have some fun and mix it up a little bit.
Special delivery.
Well, Mr. Quince, what do we have now?
You'll see.
Really, Medlars? Okay. Can one of you palms please bring it in? That would help me out a lot.
I'll bring it in, Rhea.
Okay, thanks, Perry Pear. Oh, my goodness. Is that what I think it is?
Uh-huh.
And there's a note, too. Oh, my goodness. Okay, wow. Here, you could just put it on this side of my desk, Perry Pear. I'll make some room here. Oh, yeah, okay. Careful.
I have it, Rhea.
I'm sure you do, buddy. Just, whoa, okay, we got it. Oh, my God. Thanks, buddy. All right, cool.
Heading back to the control room now.
Yeah. I'm just going to gaze on this beautiful, beautiful tree. All right, let me explain what this is. This is, it's Lady Apples. Lady was just here on last week's episode. She must have been in cahoots with you, Palms.
Maybe yes. Maybe no.
Yeah, I'm sure, Medlars. All right, so this is a centerpiece. It's in the shape of a Christmas tree. It stands like from my elbow to my desk to my fingertips, and it's a circle of Lady Apples cascading down around and surrounded by fern. Absolutely beautiful. I am so deeply touched.
Look on top.
Oh, and there's a note on top of the box, too. Okay. Yep. I'm going to read it. First of all, I just want to notice that the paper is very festive. It has like green little spruce twigs around it and little red dots signifying, I guess, little berries. Absolutely beautiful. And it reads, Dear Rhea, congratulations on your 300th episode with a little happy smiley face. We love Cider Chat, Ciderville, and you. Perry says, do you want to just read that, Perry?
Indeed I will. For making us famous.
Aw, Perry, you know, you don't need Cider Chat to be famous, buddy. You are famous already.
I know, but Apple wrote this.
Okay. Anyways, it goes on with, here's a little gift to show our appreciation for the many ways you support the cider culture and inspire more and more people to learn and make and sell cider around the world. Okay, you get me a little teary here, guys. Can't wait to celebrate and say cheers. And the Medlars say, why don't you read that, Medlars?
Hip, hip, hooray!
At the party. Love, Apple. All right, Apple wrote this. And then it's also signed, Mr. Quince, Perry Pear, the Medlars, the Yeasty Beasties. I know you guys are in there in the production room. And the Nose. Wow, all my favorite Palms and the Nose. You're flooring me. What a beautiful, beautiful presentation. I love it. Whew. Wow. Okay. Jeez, I'm crow.
Talk about the tours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll get into that. Let's just take a little pause here, and then I'm going to bring you one little more piece here, and then we're going to play the song Strange Apples. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty, Totally Cider Tours. Well, I am planning for a Totally Cider Tour to Normandy, France, and dipping down into Brittany the last 2 weeks of September. So I'll be working on that as I am moving forward. I'm not even sure if I mentioned that already on this episode because so much has happened already. So many unexpected happenings. So that'll be taking place. I want to get out that info as soon as possible, but as you can imagine, there's so many things that keep on coming up due to this worldwide pandemic. In the meanwhile, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be offline for a bit here. We'll have an episode going live the first week of January, kicking off season 7, and it's going to be on a water wheel power cider press. Really cool story. It's just amazing. So I'm going to hold that for now. So again, if you haven't subscribed yet, hit the subscribe button, follow Cider Chat and all the different social media channels, because you never know what I'm going to be putting up on any one of them. Sometimes I do one thing one place and not everywhere else. And I want to talk about the UK. I'm between this time, the 3 weeks off, I'm actually doing Cider Chat because I'm going to be producing and editing episodes to be released for January. Because as of now, I have a plane ticket for the UK heading out so I could do some wassail time in West Country. But as we see it, we have this little pandemic. So I don't know. I can't totally solidify my plans because from one day to another, things keep on changing. But I'm keeping the faith. I have to do a lot of prep for this particular trip. And hopefully, I will be able to navigate all the different requirements that are now taking place for travel during this time. And a big part of the trip, besides doing the wassail and catching up with people, is to be setting up the tour while I land. So stay tuned for that, because if I do make it out during wassail, well, I will wassail you via social media and share what the happenings are there. Really, fingers crossed. It's like, you know, go to the UK in January. Sure. Who else would do it? It reminds me of the time I went to Toronto once years back with a bunch of friends to hang out in the city. And people were like, you're coming to Toronto in the middle of the winter? It was so windy. We were standing in the parking lot almost going horizontal because the wind was able to hold us up at that speed. Anyways, that's a little bit about Totally Cider Tours. Wanted to give you an update and some travel plans ahead. I really have a lot of hope for 2022. Mr. Quince, let's roll with all those intro clips from the Ciderfield road trip I took this past July through New York and Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Elizabeth Ryan from the heart of the historic Hudson Valley, from Hudson Valley Farmhouse Cider and Breezy Hill Orchard, located in Statsburg, New York, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
We don't need a second take.
Okay.
Hello, this is Dan Treffler from Space Time Meeting Sideworks, located in Dunmore, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Ben Kishball from Big Hill Ciderworks, located in Gardner's, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Kurt Henry from Patty Bogle Ciderworks, located in Acme, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Troy Lehman from Big Hill Ciderworks, located in Gardner's, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Ben Wank from Plowman Cider, located in Adams County, Pennsylvania.
Hello, this is Fabio Chizzola from West Wind Orchard, located in Accor, New York. You are listening to Cider Chat.
Wow, it just never grows old for me hearing all the folks who are on the podcast during the past seasons. It just floors you all over the map. It's really amazing. And brings back such special memories of each and every episode. You can find it all at the Cider Chat podcast archive page. That's at ciderchat.com/podcast. I think we have the new song ready to be queued up here. But before I kind of start making my way out of here, I want to take this moment once again to thank the folks who have supported this podcast for so many seasons. And this is really listener-supported podcasting. So check out the donate button at ciderchat.com or the Cider Chat Patreon page, which is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Bravo!
And a big tip of the glass once again to Adam Levy, the founder of the New York International Cider Competition, taking place February 21st, 2022. If you are a commercial cider maker and you're interested in being judged based on your price point and how buyers of cider would bring in your product to their bars and stores, go to NYICiderCompetition.com.
Bittersweet.
Interestingly enough, I'm feeling both celebratory and bittersweet. Go figure. Well, there you have it. I'm going to be rolling out of here and leaving you shortly until January 2022, Ciderville. At the end of my adieus, we'll be playing the Strange Apples, the song both sung by myself and my cousin Jay, and Jay is on the guitar. And then at the very tail end, we're going to roll out the final intros from season 6. So we're going to hear from folks from Montana, an author, a righteous russet, and a little yeehaw, because that's how we like to end. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Strange apples, bitter sharp. Strange apples, juicy and ripe. Who wants a tannin balm?
I want a tannin balm.
Who wants to pull them down?
I'm gonna pull them down. Hey, 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 apples, bittersweet,
strange apples,
hanging high.
Got them strange apples.
Forget the pie.
Strange apples.
Squeeze them tight.
Got them
strange apples. Strange apples. Strange apples. Make them pop.
Tannin
balm.
I want a tannin balm.
Who wants to pull them down?
I'm gonna pull them down. Hey, 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 apples.
Come and see. Plenty strange apples for you and me. Strange apples. Strange apples. Strange apples. Make them pop.
Pop, pop, pop.
Ba-da, do-do-da. Pop, pop, pop. Ba-da, do-do-da. Pop, pop, pop. Ba-da, do-do-da. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop.
Hi, this is Lee McAlpine from Montana Cider Works in Darby, Montana.
Hi, this is Anna Deal of Lockhorn Hard Cider, located in Bozeman, Montana.
Howdy, this is Michael Billingsley of Western Cider in Missoula, Montana.
Hi, this is Christine Walter of Bauman Cider in Jervis, Oregon.
Hello, this is Sean Turley. You can find me online as The Righteous Russet.
Hello, this is William Mullen. I'm the author of Odd Apples, a photo art book that celebrates diversity in Malus Domestica and Malus Diversii.
Hi there, this is Kira Bassingthwaite of Western Cider in Missoula, Montana, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Yeehaw!